Lord, bless the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Our reading from Proverbs this morning has a long history of being valued by the women in my family. At least six generations on my mom's side have taught it to their daughters. Somewhere out in the vast Midwest of our country, my English ancestors settled, and Janie's mother taught it to Janie, and Janie taught it to Lillian. Lillian taught Esther, Esther taught Harriet, and Harriet taught me. When I was 10, my mother plunked me down in the kitchen and had me read the whole of Proverbs chapter 31 out loud. And then she talked a little bit about what made the virtuous woman of Proverbs so noteworthy. And then she told me the secret to learning about where I was to start in my journey towards the greatness that really mattered. I was to take the number of my birthday, find the corresponding verse, and let it inspire me. So I looked down in my King James Version of our Bible, and I found verse number 17. She girds her loins with strength, and strength is in her upper arm. Ugh! I was bitterly disappointed. I'd remembered reading about fine linen and crimson clothing and children and husbands' praise. I had definitely wanted one of those verses. Who cared about big, strong arms and big, strong arms and legs? At 10 years old, I was picturing some kind of female bodybuilder. But I was a dancer. I felt gypped. However, that verse stayed with me, and it wouldn't let me go. And as I got older, as I learned to deal with the death of pets and people I loved, as I found a way to be a dorm counselor and a church leader in my prep school, as I discovered my passion to try for life as an ordained minister when women's ordination wasn't really welcomed in my family or my community, I began to be glad to find myself haunted by that verse. And of course, as I grew, I learned not to just think about it literally. I knew I didn't have to get big biceps just because that was my verse. So I hope that some of you are busy calculating what inspiration Proverbs might be waiting for you. And just so you know the rules, as my great-great-great-grandmother conveyed them, the verses 10 through 19 are for both the single-digit birthdays and the double-digit birthdays from 1 to 19. And then the rest of the numbers and verses unfold accordingly. For the women in my family, each verse offered a hint about the thoughtfulness or the virtue that was meant to ground you in your beginning towards a virtuous adult life. And in case you didn't notice, there was no room for lazy glamour or easygoing lounging in Proverbs. No bread of idleness for her. The housewife in Proverbs cannot be confused with the Real Housewives of Atlanta or the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Her lamp does not go out at night. She opens her hands to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She might make for a very boring television show, but her life makes for rich and abundant real life. And her life gets echoed in Psalm 1 that we all sang this morning. They are like trees planted by streams of water, bearing fruit in due season, with leaves that do not wither. What the housewife of Proverbs lacks in bling, she more than makes up for with soulful abundance. I think we like to imagine that modern people are the people who are most obsessed with excellence and being the greatest and having everyone else know it. But our gospel lesson shows us that Jesus has always known how much we human beings obsess about being proclaimed the greatest. Jesus knows we argue and fight, pushing and shoving each other for the title. He knows we humans have an almost pathological longing to be declared the greatest. And I think Jesus has very little patience with us on that score. He will let us argue stupidly for a long time amongst ourselves. He will let our own silence shame us. And he will prod us to do better. In Mark, he puts a child in our midst and gives us a mystical saying to decipher. Whoever wants to be first must be last and servant of all. And the first time we hear that, we know that isn't right. Power is about having power over others. First place has the biggest prize, and the king has the biggest chair. And we know that children have no worldly power. And even in a family, they have almost no ability to force anyone to do anything. They almost always have the smallest portion. But over time, when we let gospel wisdom work on us, I think we begin to understand what Jesus is telling us. The criteria for true greatness isn't power. It's love. The child is put in the midst not because they are cute or cuddly. They are put in the midst because they are vulnerable and so ready to love and be loved. They're quick to love, quick to want love in return, quick to forgive. And they see very quickly what is worth having: love and care, appreciation and camaraderie. And what is not worth having? Anything too big to carry, anything you can't eat or play with or embrace. Unless our criteria changes, we adults will keep running after the greatness that makes us smaller as we pursue it. Envy, selfishness, unhealthy cravings, and arguments will just increase. That's what our second lesson of James is all about. So we can keep that criteria that makes us smaller, or we can embrace the wisdom of Psalm 1 and Proverbs 31 and see the power that is generated by serving and caring and making and building and growing. I sometimes think that we live in a black and white world until we allow God's wisdom to become our own. Like that wonderful scene in The Wizard of Oz, our world goes from black and white to full color when we claim a Christian life and begin to love the world the way God loves it. When we open ourselves up to God's love and being perfectly loved by God, there's room for us to grasp the many, many ways to achieve greatness in this lifetime. We'll suddenly find ourselves living in soulful technicolor with many tasks to do and many people to love. Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all, says Jesus.